Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Nun Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara is going to continue to discuss what we mentioned in the Mishnah, which is Dam Anida uBasara Meit Mitamim Lachim uMitamim Yeveshim. That both Dam Anida and Basara Meit have a din of Tumah, whether they are moist or whether they are dried out. And the Gemara now, on the fourth line down, is going to discuss Basara Meit. Basara Meit, Minolan. How do we know that that's true by Basara Meit? Amar Ish Lakish Amar Kra, Lechol Tumato, Chol Tumot, HaPorshot Mimenu. So in the pasuk that's found by Tumat Hamet, it says the Chol Tumato, for any form of Tumah. So the Chol Tumato Poreshet Menu, any Tumah that is exuded by this item, is considered to be problematic. And that's whether it's dry or whether it is moist. B'yochanan Amer, O Be'etzim Adam, O Be'kever Adam, in Parshat Chukat, by the Parah Adumah, when it's discussing Tumat Hamet, it talks about coming into contact with a bone of a person or a grave. Rabbi Yochanan connects between O Be'etzem Adam to Tumat Hamet. Dumya De'etzem Ma Etzem Yavish. Just like a bone is dry and yet it still conveys Tumat Hamet, Afkan Yavish. So to over here, by Besar Hamet, even though it's dried out, it will still convey Tumat Hamet. So Ma Benayu, what's the difference in the limud of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? They both come to the same conclusion that even though it's Yavesh, it's dried out, the Basar Meit still conveys Tumah. So what's the nafkamina between them? Mika Benayu, the Africh Afruche. In a case where it crumbles, it's so dry that it crumbles in your hand. So according to Reish Lakish, that's still included because he says the Chol Tumato. Any Tumah, any form of Basar Meit conveys Tumah. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it has to be dumya de'etzim, has to be similar to a bone. Just like a bone, when it's dry, it's still a solid object. So too, only things that are still solid objects when they are dry. But if they crumble on contact, so brittle or so dried out that it crumbles, then it is not like etzim hadam, and therefore it would not be included in tumat hamet. Meitevei. Now we have a question. Basar hamet shufrach tohor. The flesh of a cadaver that crumbles on contact, tahor. If that's the case, that's against Reish Lakish's position. It's a question of Reish Lakish. Hatam de ekmach v'habe afra. Over there, it was ground down to the point where it became afar. It was ground down to the point where it was complete dust. It was so fine that it now became dust of the earth, and it no longer has any form or sense of the basara mate. So even in that case, Reish Lakish would agree that it's no longer Tumat Hamet because it no longer has any semblance or resemblance to the Basar Hamet that was originally there. Meitaveh. Another question. Ko shebemet mitamei chutz min hashimayim. So the Mishnah in Olot, it says that any part of the body of the cadaver is mitamei hamet chutz min hashinayim, except for the teeth, vaseyar, the hair, vatziporin, and the nails. Ubishat chiburan, if they're still attached to the Niftar kol tamei, then everything is tamei. Amar Rav Ada bar Avo. So according to Rashi, this question exists for both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. For Reish Lakish, it's obvious. Reish Lakish thinks everything is included in Tumat Hamet. And here, the Mishnah in Olot gives us exceptions to things that are not included in Tumat Hamet. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's Dumya de Etzem, the Rashi over here says that Shinayim, teeth, are certainly Dumya de Etzem. And since they're similar to a bone, why aren't they included in Tumat Hamet? And yet, the Mishnah in Olot accepts them from Tumat Hamet. On the other hand, Tosafot believes that the question here is only on Reish Lakish. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, tooth and etzem and a bone are not similar in their consistency. And therefore, a tooth and a bone are not questionable. And that's why these items are accepted from the din of Tumat Hamet. Because Seyar, Tziporin, and Shinayim are not etzem. And the question here is solely on Reish Lakish's position. So according to Rashi, the question is both on Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Whereas according to Tosafot, the question is simply on Reish Lakish. We have Rav Ada bar Avo who's going to attempt to give an answer, and the Gemara is going to develop the answer of Rav Ada bar Avo till we come to a final conclusion. So this is the first attempt of Amar Rav Ada bar Avo, Dum Yud Etzim. It's to be similar to a bone. Ma Etzim Shinivra Imo, Avkol Shinivra Imo. It has to be something that originally came with this individual. He was born with this item. When it comes to teeth he's not born with. Since he's not born with those teeth, they've been replaced. They grew in later. Therefore, they are not included in Tumat Hamet. Where it says, Vayika Seyar Vitziporen Shenivru'u Imo. We learn about we have nails and hair that the individual was created with, and yet Vitorim. So that can't be the sole determination of what is considered to be Tamehir. Elo Amar Rav Ada bar Avyo. So again, we're going to refine the statement. Dumni De'etzem. Ma Etzem Shenivra Imo Ve'en Gizo Machlif. Etzem, that it comes with the individual, it's created with the individual, he's born with it. And number two is, in gizo machlif, it does not regenerate or replace itself. If there's damage, the damage is permanent. Af kol shenivra imo, in gizo machlif. So too, anything that is created with the individual and does not replace, regenerate itself, any damage done to it will be permanent. Those items will be included into matamet. So therefore, yatsushi naim shlo nivru imo. Teeth are excluded because a person is not born with these teeth. They only grow in at a much later time. Yatsu se'ar v'tziporen. And hair and nails are excluded. She'afo pishin nivru imo. Even though they were created with him, giz'o machlif. They regenerate. They replace themselves. If a nail falls off or is cut, it keeps growing. Same thing with hair. The Gemara says, okay, that's a nice definition, but let's look at some other items. Vare or, what about the skin of an individual? That regenerates or replaces itself. A person gets a cut, a person gets a scrape. The body is able to regenerate the skin and heal that area. So vare or, the gizom achlif, vitznan. Not only is that true, vitznan, and we also have a Mishnah, hagluda. When it comes to an animal who is completely skinned, a live animal that's completely skinned, Rav Meir Machshir says it's not a treifa, but Chachamim poslim. Chachamim say that animal is a treifa. Va'afilu rabbanan lo kapasli ela dehachi ve'achi shali ba'aviro u'meita. Chachamim are only posel here is because this animal will not survive. The environment in which the animal is found in will impact the animal and cause it to die. U'meita. But the olam, gizo machlif, they do agree that the skin will regenerate itself. The problem is that in the duration of time it takes for the skin to regenerate itself, the animal will die because of the elements that it is facing without its skin on. But fundamentally, both opinions here in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, agree that the skin regenerates. Rabbi Meir just thinks that there's a possibility of the animal surviving until the skin regenerates, and the Chachamim say no, that it's impossible for the animal to survive because without that protection, it will never have the opportunity to have the skin regenerate. Vitaninan. And we also have the fact that elushe orotehem kibsaram. And here is a list of items or individuals whose skin is like their flesh, or adam. That is the skin of man, which we know for sure the flesh of the individual is tamei meit. And if the or of the skin is considered to be the same as the flesh, that means that the skin is also has a tumat hameit. Now, if the skin has tumat hameit, number one. Number two is, we see from that other Mishnah that everybody agrees fundamentally that skin regenerates itself. So now, based on Rava's definition of what has tumat hameit, it has to be nivraimo. Well, skin is created with him, so that's fine. But in gizo machlif, it has to be damage that done is permanent and doesn't regenerate. Skin doesn't qualify for that. And therefore, maybe skin should not have tumat hameit. But we have explicit Tanaic work saying that that's not true. So ha'am itmar ala, we have an Amoraic statement from Ula that solves that problem. Dvar Torah or Adam Tohor, Eino Chanami. Min Torah, skin is Tohor and does not have Tumat Tamei. Umay Taim Amru Tamei. So then why did the Chachamim make it have Tumat Tamei, even though Midoraita Min Torah does not have Tumat Tamei because of the Drasha of Rav Adar Ba'avo? Gezeira Hashem Yaseh Adam Urot Aviv Imo. Because we're afraid that a person might take the skins of his parents. Shtichim Lechamor, he'll make them for throws to sit on top of his donkey. He will use their skin for his benefit. So they made them Tamei in order to prevent an individual from doing this. Viga Damre. And some say this is the way to answer it. Hare Or, the Engizo Machlif. Or, when it comes to skin, it actually does not regenerate itself. Vitznan, Chachamim Poslim, when we have the Mishnah that says, when it comes to an animal that is completely skinned, that the Chachamim are Posel. So that makes sense, because the skin will not regenerate itself, and that's why the animal is a Treifa. But then how do we understand Rabbi Meir's position, who says that the animal will survive? Fila Rabbi Meir, lo kamachshir el dekori bisra v'chayo. That Rabbi Meir says that the reason is that the flesh itself, because of its exposure to the elements, will harden, and then replicate or simulate skin for the animal. It's not that the skin will regenerate, but the flesh itself will replace the skin and act like skin or as a barrier. So even Rabbi Meir will agree. And now we're reading the Mishnah differently than we did before. The Mishnah before said everybody fundamentally agrees that skin regenerates. The different opinion of whether they have enough time for it to regenerate before it dies. Over here now we're changing our assumption and saying that everybody in the Mishnah agrees fundamentally that skin does not regenerate. So then, we understand the position of the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir's position is, well, the animal will survive not because the skin regenerates, but because the flesh will do the work of the skin. Amar Ula Dvar Torah or Adam Tahor. What are you going to do with Ula's statement? That Min Torah, skin is Tahor. The way you're expressing it now is that skin is not Tahor. It has Tumat Tameit because in Gizo Machlif, it never replaces itself, it never regenerates itself. Kitmar Ula Aseifa Yitmar. Ula's statement was not made on that part of the Mishnah, but rather on the latter half of the Mishnah. Which is, b'kulan she'ibdan, if you work, tan these skins, o she'lech behem kedei amudah, or they're thrown out on the ground for people to walk on. That's how they used to soften the skins and make them usable for leather, to make couches, to make shoes. They used to let people walk on them, so to soften them up. The amount they have to walk on them, whether it's a meal or four meal, whatever the amount is, if the skins are left out, even though otherwise they would be tamei, the skins, once they're left out and put into that position, teorim, they no longer have tuma. Chutz, the exception that is more adam, is for the skin of a person. V'amarula, the reason is, devar Torah, or adam, ki amado tohor. That when you tan and work the skin of a person, enochanami, has the same din as any other skin, it would be tohor. Matam amru tamei. So why did the chachamim make zera that it should be tamei? Zera, shemi yase adam or avi, v'imo shtichin. Was afraid that they might use his parents' skin for some sort of utility, making it into a throw to sit on the donkey with. In order to prevent the individual from doing that, the Chachamim said that it would have tumat tamei, to convey tumat tamei. Therefore, the individuals wouldn't want to use them because it would make everything tamei, tumat tamei. Tosafot asks a very simple question. We know from other places in Chas that the mate is asur ba'ana. Any anah from the mate is asur. And we learn out of the pasuk by Egel Arufa and Sham Sham, from Miriam Hekesh to Egla Rufa. So he says, why do the Chachamim have to be gozer an additional issue of Tum'ah when there's already an Isser Ana'ah? The Tosafot points out a very interesting dynamic from the Gemara in Yuma, Vishlamar, the Tum'ah Chamir Leitfei. That for people, the issue of Tum'ah and Tara was much more stringent or important than Isser Ana'ah. And Tosafot brings an example from the Gemara in Yuma there where Tum'ah and Tahara were more important to them than Shfichat Damim. The other possibility, Tosfot says, is that the Isur Ana does not apply to the skin. It only applies to the body, the goof, to the basar, but the skin would not have been included in that. And therefore, you need a separate Gzerat Chachamim to include the skin in some sort of Isur. They didn't make it Asur Ana, but they made it Tamei Meit, so that it would have the same effect as having the Isur Hana'ah. Or, the other possibility is that the Hekesh here relates to Kodoshim. And we know by Kodoshim, after the mitzvah is completed, after Kapara is done, then the skins of the Kodoshim are mutarim. Even in Ola, whose entirety goes on the Mizbech, still the skins are given to the Kohanim. So because of that, we're learning the din of Isur Hana'ah out of Kodoshim. Maybe also over here, we'll say by the mate that the skins are not included in this Isur Hana'ah. And therefore the Chachamim had to come and be gozer that the skin is tamei to matameit in order to prevent people from using those skins or benefiting from the skins of the individual. Now the Gemara asks the next question, by Basar. What about flesh, the gizel machlif, that also regenerates and replaces itself? A person gets a cut, gets a slice, not only does the skin heal, but so does the flesh. And yet, we're saying it's tamei to matameit. So that would be a problem from Rav Adar Bar Abba's position. So I'm Rav Ashi, basar nasim mekomot zaleket. That is not true. Flesh never fully heals. That area has scar tissue, scarring in that area. And even though it regenerates and it can heal itself, it never completely heals itself to bring it back to 100% of what it was prior to that point in time. Now, the Gemara moves on to the next part of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah says that the following items do not have the din of basar meit and nida, dam nida, because dam nida and basar meit are mitamim, whether they're lach or yavesh. On the other hand, in the latter half of the Mishnah gives examples of items that only mitamim lach, that they're only mitamim when they are moist, not when they are yavesh. So one of those items is the zov, the flow of ziva from the individual. So Gemara says, zov minolan. How do we know the zov itself is tamei? When you look at the psukim by Pashat the Zav, it only talks about the zav himself. It doesn't talk about the emission that exits him. So how do we know that the emission that exits him is also considered to be tamei? So Tanya, so we had this earlier in the Masechta already. It says, zovo tamei. When it comes to the pasuk, it says, debru b'nei Yisrael v'martam alayhem, ish ki azav mibsaro, zovo tamei hu. So that zovo, the Gemara says, limeid ala zov shehu tamei, teaches us that the emission itself has a tuma. Velo dinhu. And don't we have a kal v'chomer, la'cherim goreim tuma, that's mokolo koshekein. To others it causes tuma. To him himself it should certainly create tuma. So over here Rashi, similar to what he did earlier in Masechta, says that the emission causes the zav himself to become tamei. So kal v'chomer that it should affect others, just like the zav himself affects others. So too, the emission itself should affect others. On the other hand, Tosafot speaks of early in the Masechta that causes tuma to others if they're no say the zav, that they become tamei. So certainly the zov, the emission itself, if it's carried, should cause tuma to others. That's why Tosa reads it earlier in the Masechta. Rashi reads it as affecting the zav himself. So the Gemara says, "Sariyah mishtalech," like we said earlier in the Masechta, So Seir Mishtaleach Yochiach. If you look at Seir Mishtaleach, that is a din in Tumah, where the item itself is not Tameh, yet it causes Tumah to the individual who works with it. So it's not an automatic or an assumption that just because something conveys Tumah or causes others to have Tumah, that it itself inherently is Tameh. Because Gorim Tumah Le'achirim, the person who carries or takes out the Seir Mishtaleach to be thrown over the cliff, he becomes Tameh and he has to be Mechabes Begadav. Vuatzmo, the Seir Mishtaleach itself, is a live animal. Live animals are never Mekabel Tumah, and therefore it's Tahor. So afata al titamah. So don't be surprised over here, alzeh, by the emission of the zav. Shafu pishu gorim tumah leacherim. Even though this zov causes tumah to others, either again because the zav himself becomes tameh, or according to Tosafot, carrying of the zav by someone else will cause them to have tumah. But yet it itself is tahor. That shouldn't surprise you. So there is no automatic limud that we would say kal v'chomer because we have examples where that is just not true. So Talmud Lomer, that's why the apostle that says Zovo Tamei, to teach you the made alazov shehu Tamei. So that teaches us that the emission itself has a din in Tumah. Ve'enem ha'onim mili b'maga. Let us say that it's only true when you come into contact with the zov. Aval b'masah lo. But if you carry it, then you would not be Tamei. So mida hava sheretz, just like the din of a tumat sheretz. By tumat sheretz, the din is if you come into contact with the sheretz and you touch the sheretz, then you're Tameh. If you carry the sheretz, there is no Tumat Masa. So let's say the same thing over here. This Tumah of the Zov, the emission, will have Tumah that has a paradigm somewhere else, which is that of sheretz, and therefore it'll only have Tumah when you come into contact with it, but it will not convey Tumah if one just simply carries it. So Amar Abibi Barabai B'maga lo itzrik kro. By Maga, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that. Telo gara mishichvat zera. It's no worse than shichvat zera. Seen this numerous times in the Masechta, that the first emission of the Zov is equivalent to a seminal emission. And by the seminal emission, we know that there is Tumat Maga, and by Shechvat Zera, we know that anything that comes into contact with Shechvat Zera is Tamei. So certainly the Zov itself will be Tamei, Tumat Maga. So when I have a pasuk already that's indicating that there is Tumah by the Zov, by the emission, then it must be telling me something more than I would have known otherwise. I would already know Tumat Maga. So it must be that this pasuk is coming to add on Kitzrichla, the Masa, must be coming to teach us about Tumat Masa by the Zov itself. So Gemara says, Ve'ema b'masa mitamei adam u'begadim, b'maga adam mitamei begadim lo litamei. So midahavo amaga nevela. So again, let's look for another paradigm in Tumah where there is Tumat Maga and Tumat Masa, and we'll have it be equivalent to that by nevela when it comes to the carcass of a behema. It conveys Tumah. It can convey Tumah in different ways. One of them is Maga coming into contact with it. The other way is by carrying the Nevela. But the outcomes are different. When one comes into contact with a Nevela, the Adam, the individual themselves, becomes Tameh. It's an Avatumah that affects the individual, and the individual now is Tameh. On the other hand, with Masa, if you carry a Nevela, the Torah tells us that not only is the individual Tameh, but also his Bigadim, his clothes become Tameh. That this affects not only the individual himself, but anything that he is wearing. And because of that, they are both Tameim, both his clothing and the individual. So let us suggest the same thing here by the Zov, by the emission of the Zav, that it should have Tumat Maga, which is that if you come into contact with it, an individual comes into contact with it, it's like touching an Avatumah, and they are Tameh. If the person carries it, then they'll have Tumat Masa similar to Tumat Veila, which is not only will the individual be Tameh, but the clothing will also be Tameh. Now that would be in distinction to a Zav. By a Zav, whether one comes into contact with the Zav or one carries the Zav, in both of those instances, the individual is Tameh and his Begadim are Tameh. So this Zov will have a lower form of Tumah than the Zav himself. That's what the Gemara is asking here. When we have the Pasuk of Zavot Tameh to teach us about Tumat Masa, and we know Tumat Maga from Shechvat Zera, then let's look for a paradigm of Maga and Masa, and that's Nevela. And looking at that paradigm, there'll be a distinction between Maga and Masa. Maga will only be Mitameh the Adam, Masa will be Mitameh the Adam, and the Bigadim. Gemara says, I wouldn't think that there'd be such a distinction between Zav, which is always Mitmei the Adam, and the Bigadim, versus the Zovo, his emission, which will have a din like Nevela, where Maga is Mitmei the Adam, and only Masa is Mitmei the Adam and Bigadim. Because the Tanya, we have a Breita, Acheru Umim, Hazav et Zovo la Zachar un Nikeva. So this is at the end of Parshat Hazav. It says, Vahadava benidata, Vazavet Zovo, Lasachar Velena Keva, the Isha Sheshkav im Tmeya. On the Pasuk of Vazavet Zovo, the Maradarshans make Kish Zovo lo. It equates Zovo to the Zav. It says, Azav et Zovo. So it makes an equation between Zav and his Zovo. Mahu lo chilakta ben Magol Maso, just like by Zav himself, there is no distinction between Tumat Magan, Tumat Masai, always affects Latame Adam, Ulatame Bigadim, affects the individual and the Bigadim. Av Zovo Kane, so too by Zovo. My says, well, Hashka den Afkalan, if you're already learning out of the Pasuk by Zav at Zovo, then Zovo Tame, who, Mamali, what do I need that Pasuk for? You have a Pasuk already that's teaching you that the Zov is Tame and the nature of that Tuma, then what happened to the original Pasuk that we quoted by Zovo Tame, who? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda midiskarta itzrich. We need both psukim. The sakadat chamina. Had I just had the pasuk by Zav Zovo, Seir Mishtalech Yochiach. Because I would have thought that it's the Zov should be like the Seir Mishtalech. That it causes tumah to others, but it itself is tor. Be Mishum Zav Zovo. So had I not had any psukim, I would have compared it to Seir Mishtalech, and compared it to Seir Mishtalech, I would say that the emission has no tumah. So now I have the pasuk of Zav Zovo. So why is that not sufficient? It says, if I just had the pasuk mishum zavet zovo leminyonohu da'ata, I would have thought that's coming to teach us the count. Zovchad, zovo tarte. The word zov teaches us one, zovo teaches us two. Ubishlishi akshe rachmana l'nekeva. And in the third emission, it's compared to a woman or to a female. That is the pasuk v'adava benidata v'zavet zovo da'zachar l'nekeva. So zav and zovo means two emissions. For the first two emissions, we say that there is no parallel between the emission of the Zav and the emission of the woman. On the other hand, when you reach the third emission, that of the Zachar, then it's La Nekeva, it's compared to Nekeva. And just like by a Nekeva, even if it's Ones, even if it's in an involuntary emission, the woman is still a Nida or still a Zavag Dola, so to who were by the Zav, we will say the same thing. Only by the third emission will, even if it's involuntary, will it be considered to be Tumat Zav, but the first two will not be. This is a lima that we had earlier in the Masechta, in Machloket, in the Tanaim, as to whether the third or the fourth emission has that din of Nekeva. But nevertheless, you would have learned something out of this Pasuk, not related to making the emission itself Tameh, but telling us something about the emissions of the Zav. How many emissions does it take before we reach the point where we say that involuntary emissions have the same din as Nekeva, have the same din as a Nidan, as a Bagdola? So based on that, it would be the third emission. So that's what we would use that Pasuk for. So along comes the pasuk of Zovo Tamehu to tell us that no, the Zov itself is Tameh. The emission itself is Tameh. And in the emission itself being Tameh, we also have the pasuk of Azavit Zovo. Gata Rachmana Zovo Tameh, Vahashad Rachmana Zovo Tameh, who Dorish Beinami Hai. After the pasuk already tells us that the Zov itself, the emission itself is Tameh, then we go back now to the pasuk of Azavit Zovo and say that we'll learn two things out of it. Number one, we'll learn the Minyana. But we'll also learn out that there is a din of Zav to Zovo, the hekesh between Zav and Zovo, that the Zov of the individual have the same din as the Zav, and the Tumah of the emission will be the same as the individual who sees such an emission. So now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah enumerated other items that have a din of being Tameh only when they are moist, and that's Harok, that is the saliva or the spit. Rok minalon, how do we know that that's true by the spit? Itanya, we have a braita that says, V'chi yarok, when the person spits or emits the saliva, that can be mitameh. I would think that the spit would affect the individual, even if it didn't come into contact with them. Tamalomer bat tahor. Says v'chi yarok azav bat tahor. Ad shiga bat tahor. Until it touches the one who is tahor, then it affects them. But before it touches them, it doesn't affect them. Ein li ela roko. I only know about that which he spits, the saliva. Kecho v'ne'o u'me'a af shelo minayin. How do I know? Now, kecho v'ne'o, Tosafot brings two explanations and then gives just the exact opposite explanation. They both have to do with coughing up mucus. One of them is coughing up mucus when a person coughs with the extreme exertion and that brings up the mucus. And the other one is where the person coughs in a sloughed way and that brings up the mucus. Which one is which? Tosafot brings both opinions. So one of them, again, is someone who coughs with all their guts and might and brings up the mucus. And one of them is a person who has a softer cough and brings up the mucus. Me'af, obviously, being the mucus that is found in the nose. How do I know that those are also included in the problems of tumah? If a zav or a zava emits these, that they are mitam'im. They're all subsumed under the title of rok. They're all subsets of rok. And Rashi says here, the vav is a riboy. And the Reboy of the Vav says that all of these items are included under that category of rope. Samamar, the Gemara now goes back and wants to discuss this whole limud. Yoch of Pishlanagah, even if you didn't come into contact with the spit or the saliva, you would think you are a Tameh. It says, Mehechetete. Why would you ever have such a thought? Why would you ever think that a person just spits and then all of a sudden the person opposite them is tamei? Obviously, they have to come into contact with it in order for the tumah to be conveyed. I will learn out the spit or saliva, the word rok, from that which is by chalitza of a yibun, of a yavama. Mahatam, afu pishal noga. Over there, the spit that is done, meaning that the woman who spits, le'eneas kenim, does not have to touch the abam, who is not performing yibum over here in the chalitza process. She doesn't have to spit and have the spit touch him. She just has to spit in front of him. So just like over there, in front of him is sufficient. Afachanami. Also over here, we'd say that if it just goes in front of them, that they'd be tamei. Kamashmalon, the puzzle comes to teach us, but tahor. That actually come into contact with the tahor in order for them to become tamei. Be'emer, hani milei b'maga. So let us say that rogue only has a din in tumat maga. Aval b'masalo. But if you carried the rogue or the spit of the zav, that would not cause tumat. When it says, midah hava sheretz, and we'll use the paradigm of sheretz, where there is tumat maga, and no tumat masa. Amar shlokish, turn to be Rabbi Shmuel Amar, kra bitahor. Mash viyad tahor, temeti lecha. Turn to be Shmuel learns out of the word betahor. Betahor means in the hand, or in the position of the tahor. So that which is in the hand of the tahor, temeti lecha, I cause it to be tamei. So here, that idea being that of carrying, so the carrying of the tahor will make him tamei. And that's what we darshan have the word betahor. So Gemara says again, that when it comes to carrying, it'll be metame the Adam in his clothing. Bimaga, when it comes into contact with the spit, then it would be Adam litame, bigadim lo litame. Then the individual will become tame, but not his clothing. Again, dumya, midahava amaga nevela, similar to the paradigm in nevela, but there's a distinction between coming into direct contact, where only the individual becomes tame, versus carrying it, where both the individual and his clothing becomes tamei. So why don't we say that that's the case here by rote? So Reish Lakish again, v'chein tana debei Rabbi Yishmael. Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, bat tahor, tarash, itararti lecha b'makom acher, something that I made tahor for you somewhere else, tameiti lecha kan, I make tahor for you here. Bezuzeh, and what's that? Zeh maga neveila. By maga neveila, we said before that only the individual becomes tamei, but his bigodim, his clothing, are tehorim. So here, there'll be a distinction. What is tahor? By the nevela, meaning his clothing, over here will be tamei. And that means that even if the contact with the roke be enough to be tamei the adam and the kebigadim, the ema kemasa de sheretz. So why don't we say it'll be similar to that, the masa de sheretz. Sheretz, when you carry it, is tahor. So we'll say something I made tahor for you somewhere else, that which the carrying of a sheretz, which is tahor somewhere else, I make tamei for you here. And what it'll be, they'll be carrying will make you tamei. But that distinction between maga and masa will still exist. It says, if you simply wanted to teach me that the tumat masa is tamei, then all you have to say is v'chiruk azav ba'adam. And I would have known ba'adam means biyad adam, something that the adam carries, and that would be tumat masa. What do I mean ba'tahor? Ba'tahor comes to teach me not only something that's tahor by sheretz, but something that's tahor by nevela, on a higher level of tumat, is tamei over here. And therefore, by the rok and all its derivatives and all its subsets, it'll have the same din as the zav himself, which is just like the zav, by magan masa, we are indifferent. There is no difference in the tumah that is conveyed. And we saw that too by the zov, by the emission of the zav. So to over here, by the rok and all of its derivatives, we will say the same thing, that there is no distinction in tumat, magan masa, that the tumat, magan masa will both cause tumat adam and tumat bigadim. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss a little bit of what we brought over here, which is me'af. What is the mucus in the nose, and why is that tamei? So my me'af, amar Rav, minigdorim derech hapeh. Rav says it's when the person sniffles in and moves that mucus back into their throat or into their mouth. And then when the person expels that mucus, e'afshar the me'af lo tzuchei rok. It's impossible that this mucus that he's expelling will not have accompanied with it at least some drops of spit, and therefore, it'll take on the properties of spit, which we, or saliva, which we know already has this tumah. Even if one blows their nose, and it's expelled through the nose, that is still tamei. Alma kasavar, must be that Rabbi Yochanan holds mayanhu, that is considered to be a mayan. And the Torah included any mayan for tumah. So that's, we learned before, that when it comes to the mayanot hazav, anything that exudes a liquid, and before the liquid is expelled, it gathers together. That is called a mayan. And any mayan, when it comes to tumat azav and zava, will be tmeim. They'll have a din of avatuma. So that must be what Rabbi Yochanan thinks over here, that the mucus of the nose has a din of mayan. Rav nachshov nami dema'ot eno. So according to Rav's understanding, why doesn't he include tears as being something that's problematic, that is exuded by the zav or the zavah, and they will have this tumah? Why? Amar Rav. So now here comes the explanation. Hai man dubai de listeme le'enei, a person who wants to become blind, l'chol me'ovid kochavim. He should go and get his eyes painted by an Ovid Kochavim. Over here, the assumption being that the painting of the eyes was medically efficacious. It had some benefit to it. But a person could also put in that salve that they were putting into the eye, they could put some sort of poison in there. So Rav says, if you want to become blind, go to someone who is untrustworthy to put in this type of salve. And when doing so, they will have evil intentions when they're doing this. And they'll put poison in there. So Rav says, if that's what you want to become blind, then go to these untrustworthy people. V'levi amar haiman deboy de limot. If you want to die, l'kchol me'ovid kochavim. Then go to the Ovid Kochavim and have him place this eye salve with poison into your eye. Again, the poison is, from his perspective, because he's untrustworthy, he's going to do this in order to cause damage to you. And that will cause you to die. What's the difference between them? Why is it that Rav says you only become blind from this poisoning? Because Red Levi thinks you're going to die from the poisoning. V'amar Rav Chiya bar Guria, my time with Rav, what's Rav's position? To law, Amar, Haiman deboy limot. How can he doesn't use the same expression as Levi, that this will cause him to die? Because he's able to expel them through the mouth. So Rav thinks that there's some connection between the tear ducts and the mouth. And therefore, over here, where the poisonous salve is put into the eye, in terms of the poison itself, the individual will be able to expel the poison so they won't die. It'll affect their eye, it will cause blindness to the eye, but it won't cause their entirety of their goof to die because they'll expel it through the mouth. Another and Levi thinks there's no connection between the tear ducts and the mouth, and therefore if that poison goes in, there's no way for it to be expelled, and that will cause the individual to die. But what you see here is that Rab believes there's a connection between the eye and the tear ducts and the mouth. So just like by the mucus of the nose, if one takes the mucus of the nose and expels it through the mouth, we say over there it's tamei, why don't we say the same thing by tears? Tears that are expelled in that manner should also have a problem because they'll have tsuktuche rok. They'll have some sort of saliva that's attached to them. Mar says, Rav nahi dezira nofik, dimata gufa lo nofik. Now Rav believes that that connection between the tear duct and the mouth or the ability to expel that poison is only true for the poison itself. It is not true for the tears. The tears remain in the tear ducts and only go out or are expelled by the eyes, not through the mouth. On the other hand, the poison doesn't stay necessarily in the tear ducts. That can come out to the mouth and be expelled by the mouth. And so because of that, tears don't have the din like me'af, like the mucus of the nose, because they are not expelled through the mouth at all. Tashma. Shamashkim hazav. There are nine liquids when it comes to the zav. Hein hazeah, comes to sweat. Halecha, srucha, pus, varei, and excrement. Teorim miklum. They have no din of tumah. These are all items that are disgusting and not considered to be mayanot of the zav. And therefore, they have no din of tumah whatsoever. The next level of tumah is dimat eino, comes to tears, midam migafto, or blood from a wound, v'chalav ha'isha, and the milk of a woman, mitamim tumat mashkim birivit. They cause tumat ochlim. They are on a level of tumah where they can cause tumah to ochlim and mashkim, but they are not mitamei the adam. Aval. Now, there's a third level of liquid, which is zovo, roko, umemeri aglav. The emission itself of the zav, his saliva, umemei raglav, and his urine, mitamim tumah chamura. They have a din of ava tumah, and therefore they can be mitamei adam as, and kelim as well. So here you have nine liquids, and three of the liquids are in each category. Three liquids which have no tumah whatsoever, and that was the excrement, the pus, and the sweat. The three liquids had of a tumah kala, which is that they're able to be mitamei ochlim and mashkim, but they're not able to be mitamei adam and kelim, and that is the tears, the blood from a cut or a wound, and the milk of a woman. And then there's a third level of liquids, of three liquids, which have the din of mayan and the din of avatuma when it comes to them coming to contact. They can be mitamei adam and kelim. And that is the zovo, the emission itself, the roko, the saliva, and memei raglav in the urine. V'ilu, me'af loktani. Mucus of the nose is not mentioned in this list. So bishlam alarav loktani. The reason that it's not written for Rav is delo psikole. It's not conclusive. Not all mucus from the nose has a din of avatuma. Depends how it's expelled. So therefore, they didn't put it in there. Lo psikla de midnei zimnin de ati dercha pev zimnin de ati dercha chotem. He didn't want to have to qualify the statement by mucus that depends how it's expelled. El Rabbi Yochanan litnei. Why did, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is it not included in this list here? Mea af, according to him, has a din of mayan and tumach hamurav tumatameit. So why not include it over here? Velitameich. According to your reasoning, kechov v'nei o miktani. What about kechov v'nei o, which we mentioned before, are included in this list of items that have tumach hamurav hayazav? How come they're not included in the list? So it includes rok saliva and everything that is included from the vava, extra vav there, from the ribuy, the inclusion of rok that brings in all of its subsets. So it's over here, it takes rok and includes everything that is not there. So it means keicho, neo, me'af. They're all not there. Whether it's for Rav or Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have an exhaustive list here. You have headers, you have the primary types of liquids that create this tumah. Anything that's a subset of that will also have a tumah. You don't have to mention them explicitly. How do you know that tears have a din of a liquid? Because it says, v'teshkemo b'damot shalish, that he gave him to drink tears in great measure. So we see that tears have a din of mashke. They have a din of mashke, of a liquid, therefore they have a din here of creating tumah kala. Dami gafto. How do we know that blood from a wound also has a din of a liquid? Dichtiv. Bidam chalalim yishte. They will drink from the blood of the cadavers. Malikatle kule, malikatle palge. What's the difference between a completely dead person and a partially dead person? The Gemara in a number of places uses this logic to explain why a wound or a damage to an individual is the equivalent of killing them. It's partially killing them. When a person causes a wound to another individual, the loss of blood and the wound that is created there is a partial killing. So that's what the Gemara says here. What's the difference between partially killing and fully killing? By fully killing, the blood is classified, it comes out, it's classified like that of a liquid, it's drunk. So to over here, when it comes to a wound, the blood that comes out of the wound will have the same din as the blood that exits a cadaver, and it'll be classified like a liquid or a drink. Chalav ha'isha. How do we know that's true? By the milk of a woman. So when it came to Sisra, when he's running away from the battle with Barak, and Yael stops him, she gives him to drink from the flask some milk. So you see that milk, again, is a din of a mashke. How do we know that that's true by urine? Vizot, lerabot, meme raglav. We have the word vizot, that comes to be a ribuy. Tosfot and Rashi argue about what the ribuy is. Tosfot says it comes from the extra vav. It says, Dabru b'nei siov amartaleim, ish ki azav mipsero zavot mehu, vizot tia tumato. Also it says that extra vav, vizot, comes to be mirabe, the meme raglaim, the urine, to have the same din as the zov, as the emission itself. Tosfot says, zot, everywhere else in Shas is used as a mute. So it has to be the vav, that is the ribuy, not from the word zot. On the other hand, Rashi says that the Gemara is reparsing the pasuk and saying zavot mehu vizot, that there's zavot mehu vizot and something else. That and something else comes here to include urine, the memei raglayim. So that's how, according to Rashi, we get this inclusion. But that memei raglayim are also included in this tumah of the zav. Balo dinu. Why do you need a pasuk at all? Why doesn't it cover chomer? Umaro kabam mimakom tahara. When it comes to saliva that exits from a place that is tahor, the mouth, which otherwise is tahor, tamei, and that nevertheless is tamei. Memei raglav, when it comes to urine, habaim b'makom tamei, they exit from the aver, the same place where the tumata zov exits from. So enu din she'et tameim, certainly that liquid should be tamei. Dama yotzei mipi'ama yochiach, blood that comes out of the aver will prove to us that that's not the case. Shebama mikom tamei, even though it exits from the same location as the zov, v'tahor, nevertheless it's tahor. Why are you surprised? The urine that exits from a place that is tamei, it should be tahor. How do you know that kav chomer that you're making is proper? The kav chomer is broken because the logic doesn't always follow through. Yes, by saliva, we say it's coming out of a tahor place and it's still tamei. So certainly the urine that's exiting from a place that is normally tamei, that should make it tamei. But we have an examples that show that it's not true. Blood that exits from the aver, yet that blood is not considered to be tamei. That blood is considered to be tahor. So too over here, the urine will have that same classification being tahor. Tamad Omar. And that's why we have the limud from the pasuk of zavot tamei bizot robot mei raglav. That comes to include the mei raglayim. Alright, we'll stop over here and the Gemara will continue tomorrow discussing how do we know that that's true by dam, that when it exits from the aver, that it is tahor.